topical message tonight, but we're going to begin here in Jonah chapter 2. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Jonah chapter 2, and you're familiar with the story of Jonah. He has fled from God and swallowed by a great fish, and from inside the fish, Jonah begins to pray. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and he heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray as we open his word tonight. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for this book of Jonah, one that's very familiar to us, even our children. And God, it reminds us that you are a sovereign God who pursues your people. And Father, we want to learn tonight how to pursue you in return in prayer. And so, Lord, teach us this evening, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first main point I want us to consider is what prayer can't change. I think that's a helpful place to start. Sometimes we approach prayer like we approach a smartphone. You know, you go to the app store, you download stuff, or you have instant access right away to information. You push a button and it's there. And sometimes we think of prayer in the same way. Just download the right words to God, and then God is obligated to do what we ask. One of the frustrations I have in going to the app store on a smartphone is you see this really cool app that does lots of neat things, or maybe it's a game you could spend lots of time on, only to find out that there are many in-app purchases. And so you download the thing, and half the features aren't even available to you. And because I'm cheap, I don't want to pay money for all those features, so I have an app that just works for half of the features. It'd really be helpful to know in advance what features are available before you download the app. Now, I know that they do that a lot in the descriptions. But the same is true when it comes to prayer. We need to first understand what features are not available in prayer. What can't prayer do? We need to know this so that we don't make the mistake of trying to pray and think that our prayers will do something that they were never meant to do. And I wonder if many of the frustrations that many of us have in prayer have to do with this fact that we expect prayer to do things and change things that perhaps God never intended. And so the question, what can't prayer change? And the answer is simple. Prayer can't change God. Prayer can't change God. Can't change his mind, his character, his will. For if God is truly sovereign, then he can't be tossed back and forth by the requests of man or the whims of man. He doesn't flip-flop. Look at what Numbers 23 says. God is not a man that he should lie, or son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Prayer can't change God's sovereign will and purposes. God's answer to prayer, or his seeming non-answers to prayer at times. That's what it feels like from our perspective, at least. His answers and his apparent non-answers or silent answers are always in accordance with his will. Some may conclude that God's sovereignty is a problem for prayer. That if God's sovereign, if he knows everything, then what good does it do? We don't really need to pray because it won't change anything, because God is sovereign. But you see, that's not really true. It is true that God is sovereign. But God wouldn't ask us to do something. He wouldn't ask us to pray if prayer didn't do anything. And God does throughout his word command us to pray, and we see prayer, that we are to be praying people. And the truth is that prayer depends on the sovereignty of God. It depends upon God being sovereign. If God was not sovereign, thus he would be powerless to change anything, to change circumstances. So if God wasn't sovereign, then there would be no point to prayer at all. Because in that case, God wouldn't be able to do anything about it. And so God's sovereignty is essential. So we have this truth that God is sovereign and he invites us to pray. Because he works through prayer. And so the point that I'm making here is simply this, that prayer doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change his sovereign purposes, his sovereign will. But our passage poses a little bit of a problem where the book of Jonah does, because it appears that God changes. Why does it say in the book of Jonah that God relented? So after Jonah prays in the fish, he goes to the land of Nineveh, he preaches this message, 40 days more, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh did repent. And then we read these words in Jonah 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. Some might look at this verse and conclude that God changed his mind regarding Nineveh. But did he really change his mind? How do we explain this? Well, I think there's a couple of explanations. One, we need to remember that the Bible, especially in narrative passages, speaks in language that we can understand. It speaks how people speak. We call that anthropomorphisms. That's one example. And that's true in biblical narrative. It's simply describing what took place. Jonah preached, people repented, and God relented from what he had said he was going to do. That's what happened. It doesn't discount God's sovereignty or his sovereign purposes through Jonah in Nineveh. It would be a lot less clear if the book of Jonah read this way. When God saw what they did, he maintained his eternal sovereign will in blessing those who come to him in repentance and faith. However, in this sovereign justice, they had they not responded to this will, he would have carried out his judgment upon them. Yet, all of this happened according to God's sovereign, unchanging plan. That simply wouldn't read as nicely in the book of Jonah. What happened? Nineveh repented and God withheld his judgment. That's what took place. So that's one side of it. But did God really change his mind? And my answer is no. Because the reason God gave the warnings of judgment was so that the people would repent. That was God's purpose through Jonah, to lead the people of Nineveh to him. In fact, this is the heart of God we see throughout Scripture, Ezekiel 18:23. God says, "Do I take pleasure in the death of the wicked?" declares the sovereign Lord. "Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their evil ways and live?" So what was God's purpose in Nineveh? What was his purpose through Jonah? What is God's unchanging will? That people would turn to him and live. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone will turn to the Lord, but that's God's heart. That's his desire. And so God wasn't changing his mind. He wasn't flip-flopping when the people of Nineveh repented. He wasn't changing his character. He was being consistent with who he is, a merciful and compassionate God. And so I think that point is clear. In prayer, God doesn't change. But that doesn't mean that prayer doesn't change things. In fact, prayer changes lots of things. And so secondly, let's consider what can prayer change. Now remember, the sovereignty of God is not the problem. The sovereignty of God is essential for prayer. We need a God who's unchanging in order for prayer to be effective. So what can prayer change? And Jonah 2 gives us some good insights into this question. And perhaps there are other things that we could include, but I see at least three things in this passage. One thing we see is that prayer can change circumstances. Things happen when God's people pray. Just read the first and last verses of Jonah 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited Jonah upon dry land. Jonah prayed, and the Lord commanded the fish to spit him out. Now, what was God's purpose for Jonah all along? Did God want Jonah to flee to Tarshish? Or did he want him to go to Nineveh? So when God answered Jonah's prayer, Jonah's circumstances changed, and his prayer was in keeping with God's purpose and plan. And I want to say tonight, prayer can change circumstances. I think that's an important point to make. I feel compelled to just give a word of caution here. Prayer can change circumstances. It can change circumstances because God is sovereign. And God is able to change our circumstances. But we need to recognize that prayers do not guarantee that God will always change our circumstances whenever we ask. Some circumstances God allows for reasons that are beyond our comprehension. Maybe he allows circumstances to our life for a season, maybe a season longer than we would wish, maybe for the remainder of life. We can't always see behind and understand what God's purposes are. And perhaps the clearest example is Christ himself, who prayed in the garden, "Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me." Jesus prayed that his circumstances would change. But of course, it was God's will, which Christ knew as well. It was God's will for him to go to the cross. That was a circumstance that was not going to change. It was part of God's unchangeable plan. But through prayer, God can change circumstances so far as it's in keeping with his sovereign will. And so the problem is we don't always know exactly what that will is. We don't know exactly what God is trying to accomplish through certain circumstances. And so what do? We pray anyway. We pray like Paul says to the Thessalonians. We pray without ceasing and giving thanks in all circumstances. God invites us to pray. He invites us to lay our requests before him. And we need to understand that God does answer prayers in this way at times. Prayer can change circumstances. It can change circumstances, but prayer can also change human hearts. That's the next thing we see. I suppose Jonah might not be the best example of this because in the end, it turns out that Jonah needs a little more changing to take place. But notice how in the midst of his circumstances, Jonah is driven to God in prayer. And notice the way that we see God changing Jonah's heart as he comes to the Lord in prayer. We see in verse 2, Jonah says, "I called out to the Lord in my distress." He was running away from God. He was fleeing from God. Now he says, I called out to the Lord. And as he called out to him, verse 7, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. Verses 8 and 9, those who pay regard to vain idols, they forsake their hope in steadfast love. But I, Jonah says, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. As Jonah was, through unique circumstances, brought to his knees, God was at work changing his heart, changing Jonah, through communion with God in prayer. Jonah comes to God in prayer, and God was bringing about change in his life, repentance and renewed faith. Another example is Paul's words to the Colossians, Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Now, this could be a prayer, on the one hand, for God to change circumstances. God, open a door for the gospel to be proclaimed. Remove the barriers that are in place so that the message of Christ can go out. That could be part of Paul's prayer, but it also could be this, a prayer for God to open hearts to receive the message of the gospel. Because God is the one who changes hearts through His Spirit. And so, because of that, we pray. We pray for family. We pray for friends. We pray for neighbors and co-workers. We pray this prayer, that God may open a door. One, that God may open a door for maybe us to share the gospel. But also that God would open the door of their heart, as it were, so that they might hear it and receive it. Because God changes hearts through prayer. But the biggest change that takes place in prayer is not the changing of circumstances around us or the changing of the people in front of us, but the fact that when we come to God in humble, sincere, Christ-exalting prayer, we find that prayer does change us. Again, think of Jonah's words. I called out to the Lord in my distress, and He answered me. I'd submit to you tonight that the most important change that takes place in prayer is the change that happens in us. And I'm not talking about mechanical prayers, the prayers that we might repeat without thinking at times, and we all do that. But when I say prayer changes us, I mean when we come to God with our hearts and minds engaged. Prayer changes us. How? It changes us because when we pray, what are we doing when we pray? We're bringing ourselves underneath God's sovereign care. When we pray, when we recognize we're praying to a God who's sovereign, we're taking our circumstances or our situations, whatever it is, and we're bringing ourselves under, I mean, we're already under God's sovereignty, but we're placing ourselves in His care. We're looking to Him. Jonah is changed from a terrified deserter of God to one who humbly trusts God. And of course, as I mentioned, you know the story. Jonah needs further change to take place by the end. He goes to Nineveh and he throws a fit because God shows mercy and compassion. But Jonah's prayer leads to some important changes. And the biggest change takes place in him. He goes from being a runaway prophet to being able to say in verse 9, but with a voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to God. what's really fascinating to me about Jonah's prayer is that he prays these words from inside a fish. He prays them before he knows he's ever going to make it out alive. All he knows is that at this point, God sent this fish to swallow him up, and he has graciously been given a few more moments to live, which allows him to seek God's forgiveness. And God graciously releases him. And of course, Jonah's not perfect. He does humbly trust God, but he needs more changes to take place in his heart. Perhaps that's not all that strange, because we are a lot more like Jonah than we'd like to admit. The change that God brings about in our hearts is not instant. It's often slow-paced over long periods of time. And as we come to God in prayer, he changes us, but there's always more that needs to be changed. We're not perfected yet. We haven't reached glory yet. The other prayer that's always intrigued me is Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. I mentioned that already. But Jesus knew he came to die. So why did he ask God to take the cup from him? And my thought is the first part of his prayer, take the cup away. Jesus is feeling the weight of his humanity, the brokenness of the world for which he's about to die. But in the same breath, it's astounding, he prays, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." And Jesus was able to pray those words with full conviction because he was our perfect, sinless Savior. He was God in flesh. But you see, when you and I pray, we're not always to pray fully, honestly, with full conviction. Not my will, but yours be done. Why? Because we still need changing. We, again, are like Jonah. We need more of God's glory. We need to trust more fully in his saving grace. We need to know more fully the joy of his salvation. And so we continue to come to him. We continue to seek him in his word and to seek him in prayer, because God is sovereign and he is able to act. We pray because God asks us to. We also pray because we know that we always need his grace to be at work in our lives. We need his compassionate mercy. And so, does prayer change anything? That's the question. Yes, it changes lots of things. It changes many things. And probably more than we've looked at tonight. But again, I say the most important thing that changes in prayer is us, as we submit ourselves to God's sovereign care and rule. Lord willing, as we come to him in prayer, more and more we will be able to say, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." May your will be done in my life. And dear friends, as we go to the Lord in prayer this week, let the truth of God's word that we've seen tonight transform you as you seek him in prayer. In our praying, let's not merely ask God, "What will you do for me? What can you do for me?" But rather, let's be mindful to ask God, "Even if you don't change my circumstances or don't change them right now, help me to see what change you're working in me. God, what are you doing in my life? How do I need to change?" And as we come to him with that attitude of humility, seeking and submitting to his sovereign will in our lives, we have this assurance from God that no matter what our circumstances may be, we have this word of promise in Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God is working in us, and he will complete the work that he's done in us. And so what do? We keep coming to him, seeking him in his word, seeking him in prayer, so that more and more we might reflect his love and grace in our lives, and might more and more live to the glory of his name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time this evening to just reflect on this question about prayer. Father, we pray that that we would become better practitioners of prayer. It's such a simple thing that Father, it's easy for us to take for granted. It's easy for us to forget what an amazing thing it is to be able to come before you, the God of this universe, that your throne of grace is open, that you're ready to receive people in prayer. And Father, we pray that you would fill us with the faith to know and believe that prayer does change things. God, you are at work. And so, Father, let us have eyes to see and hearts that are willing to submit. And Father, we do pray that more and more you would move our hearts and our will so that we would be able to echo the words of our Savior. Lord, in all of our prayers, not my will but yours be done. So, Father, change us tonight. We need the change that we saw Jonah needed. We need it as well. Father, draw us to yourself, and God, let us know more of you. Father, meet us in prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name.